As mentioned, I'll be abbreviating the lesson this morning. We'll be introducing a topic, and I'm going to continue it later. The introduction is not directly the topic that we're going to be talking about, however, but it's related, as you'll see. Here's a question. We're at the beginning of February here. 2017 is behind us. What was the top news story in 2017? I'll give you a hint here. It wasn't any of those. Trump's first year, the Las Vegas shooting, Hurricane Harvey, and the other ones, North Korea, Trump-Russia probe. None of those was voted the top story of 2017. This was. And I'm glad. But it doesn't go far enough. Because the sexual misconduct in our nation is just epidemic. But this has addressed some of the things that have been going on. So many women and young women are sexually assaulted at some point during their lives or a number of times. And what we've seen in this also is how many men have been caught and identified in using their power in a particular industry or job in pressuring women, or in some cases, accusations of just assaulting or raping them. And hopefully they will go to jail where they belong. Others, where it may be laws were not broken, it's good that they're losing their jobs. And so there's the sexual misconduct allegations voted top news story of the year. But even before then, you know, this type of, you recall when Roger Ailes, perhaps, was ousted due to claims of abuse of power and sexual misconduct and demands and such. And, of course, Bill Cosby being arrested and et cetera. But then Harvey Weinstein, and we're not going to go into the details of the way that he's behaved, but he was a Hollywood producer or director, I'm not sure which. And just the number of women that have come forward with claims against him. And one thing I'd like to point out here is, should it be surprising that somebody in Hollywood that has made their living making movies involving beautiful young starlets and oftentimes setting up sexual and erotic scenes turns out to be a pervert? Should that really be a huge, huge surprise? And on the one hand, there are women who, when they were faced with men like this, you know, they resisted, they said no, they left. But there's a lot of women in the Me Too movement now, and their story is they went along with it because they wanted that part. You know, they disrobed. They shot that scene. They did this and that. They wanted that part. And what are we selling ourselves here for? It is, to a large extent, a filthy, filthy industry. This is a famous actor that was, not only was he kicked off the program, but he was in a movie, and a month before the movie came out, they took him out of the movie and put somebody else in. It was amazing. Matt Lauer, fired from NBC. Michael Oreskes, fired news chief at NPR. A senator, U.S. senator, for different misbehaviors. He's resigned. Conyers resigned. It's just been a lot of men behaving badly. Since Weinstein, which was in October, more than 100 high-powered men have been accused of sexual misconduct. And it's good that some light is being shed on that. But as I said, the behavior doesn't stop there. For instance, the main villain here and the main accuser, whenever it's been in the news, there's the picture of them together. And she's wearing a dress that should not be seen by anybody other than her husband. and she's up against him. Does that justify his behavior at all? No. But the fact is, there's more sexual misconduct here than just the abuse of power. Other times, it's been totally innocent women who have been victimized and things like this. A recurring defense from whether it's Cosby or Weinstein, they've said it was consensual. Mr. Weinstein denies any non-consensual relationships. Cosby said this was consensual. And consent has gotten to be a huge, huge topic on college campuses, where sexual misconduct, of course, has been a very huge problem, and rape. And so you have 8 things you should know about consent on college campuses. I think this is real. Campus sexual consent form, State of California. This agreement on this day of this month between this person and this person, and that they may manifest participation in these acts for a period of such and such a time. There's even an app that's going to come out where you can both click on the app and take a picture to show consent. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Please open your Bible. Let marriage be had in honor among all, and the bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornication, illicit sexual relations, which include not just, oh, that's fornication, but this isn't. That. Keep in mind that in Jude chapter, well, it's one chapter in Jude, but in Jude verse 7, when it mentions the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexuality there, you know what that's also referred to as? That is also fornication. Sometimes people try to restrict fornication in their mind to just, well, it's only this right here, so I can do this, or I can do this, or I can do that. What the homosexual is doing was also fornication. Adultery is a subset within fornication. Adultery is fornication where there is also the violation of a marriage covenant. It may be that you're the person that's married and you're violating that covenant with an unmarried or single person, or it may be that you're a single person and you're committing fornication, or excuse me, committing adultery by being involved with somebody in there. Let's illustrate that from Luke chapter 16, verse 18. Everyone that puts away his wife and marries another does what? Commits adultery. He that marries one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. Here is a much better consensual agreement. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, to keep yourself to her alone, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, so long as you both shall live? And she says, I do. Or he says, I do. Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold, to keep yourself to him and her alone, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, as long as you both shall live? I do. Now, these words are not found in Scripture, these marriage vows, but the principles are there. It talks about in Malachi, which we'll look at in a minute, those that forsake the covenant of their youth. And Jesus said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You see in Proverbs chapter 31, the worthy woman who the heart of her husband trusts in her. It's the opposite of the woman back in chapter 7. This is consent. This is not consent for this weekend. This is not this is Genesis chapter 2. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He says, I do. She says, I do. And they begin their life together. And there'll be some better, and there'll be some worse. There will be some richer, and there will be some poorer. And there will be some health, and there will be some sickness. We've got people facing a lot of health issues right now, and some have faced health issues and challenges for years. And in a marriage covenant, you're not there because, well, this weekend I don't have anything better to do and you're around. It's not just a selfish thing. It's a commitment that's made. And to see people honoring that commitment is a beautiful thing. Jim and Nyla, there are multiple examples along this line, but I'll just use an example from this last week. Nyla had a heart attack. Jim wants her to get to the hospital. He doesn't know she's had a heart attack, but he wants her to get to the hospital. She goes to the hospital. Nyla doesn't want me to go to the hospital. Nyla wants somebody to get down to where Jim is, to be with Jim. Jim's concerned about who? Nyla. Nyla's concerned about who? Jim. These guys were married, are married, maybe about to be unmarried. A few days after all of this erupted, Weinstein's wife either filed or left him. Matt Lauer was kicked out of the house. These men were married. It's everything else is just horrible. But on top of that, by the way, neither of them were in their first marriage, not surprisingly. But then we also have in our society this. Mike Pence has been criticized over and over again. You know why? He won't go out to dinner with just a woman. In himself alone. You know, I think that's a good idea. And we have a vice president who honors his wife and won't do that. How's he been treated? Oh, that's bad. The vice president's rule is insulting for men, limiting for women. And some have described it as, so you're saying the only thing that prevents you from rape or assault or adultery or whatever they've said is witnesses? Such a lack of wisdom there. We'll be talking more about guarding our marriages in some future, in a future lesson along this line. How Pence's doodly dinners hurt women. The religious reasons Mike Pence won't eat alone with women don't add up. However, some have realized, hey, that's maybe not a bad idea. An article in USA Today, after Weinstein, consider the Pence rule to protect your heart in marriage. Yeah. Yeah. A while back, we talked about thou shalt not covet. What we're going to be talking about is thou shalt not commit adultery. And I'm going to go just a few more minutes this morning, and then we'll wind up and continue at another time. But I want you to consider that passage in Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man shall what? Leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in that one flesh, and as Jesus said, so they are no more two, but one. And in that one flesh relationship, if so blessed, they can have children, and then what may he do when he grows up? For this cause he shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. They have a child, etc., etc., etc. However, if he leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, they become one flesh, they're blessed with these children, but his wife's not the only woman in the world. And there's some other pretty women out there. And if he's like too many scoundrels, he married his wife when she was really young, when she was in the earlier part of her life, and everybody ages. And if he's a selfish individual and doesn't honor his wife and doesn't honor God and doesn't honor his covenant, he starts noticing there's some younger, more interesting women out there visually, perhaps. So he starts thinking about her. Maybe it's a woman at work. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe he's thinking about her because she's already been thinking about him. What does Matthew 15 say? For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. So later, when we talk about guarding ourselves, it's the importance of controlling what's going on up here before it gets to be a problem. People, once they're in adultery, or once they're even in an emotional affair, once their heart and then their hormones are going in a direction, people can behave in the most stupid, foolish ways. Don't put yourself, it's not an excuse to keep going that direction, but if you picture somebody going over Niagara Falls trying to swim up the falls, that's a lot tougher than not getting in the river above Niagara Falls. Let's just think about for a moment the consequences here. He betrays the covenant with his wife. She's perhaps betraying the covenant with her husband. Maybe she was single. Maybe she was married. And now there's a fleshly relationship here. But it's not an honorable one. It's a wicked one. The Bible said, and it preceding this, if you remember back when we talked about thou shalt not covet, this began with some coveting. And then proceeded into adultery. And I just want us to think about a moment before we conclude how this affects all these different people. His mother over here. She was excited when he got married. She's looking forward to those grandkids. If she's an honorable woman, if she's a godly woman, what has that done to his mother's heart to see him betray his own children and his wife? Now, if she's not a godly woman, if she's one of those women who always enabled him and always defended him, and whenever he got in trouble at school, oh, it wasn't his fault. Oh, what? Well, then she may be saying, well, she wasn't good enough for you. And just the destructive lifestyle continues. Same with the father over here. If he's a godly man, how much this breaks his heart to see his son such a dishonorable man. But if he's taught his son, boys will be boys, it's not that big a deal to him. How about his in-law? When he went to his father-in-law and he said, I'd like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. And Who gives us? Her mother and I. And they agreed, yes, you can marry our daughter. And they entrusted her heart and life to him. And then he just betrays it. What about these kids? Sometimes the people who get hurt the most are the children. And what about that husband over there and those kids? But the people committing adultery are only thinking about what? Absolutely selfish. And it doesn't stop there. I know a case where, and I may tell the story next time I pick this up, but it ended up resulting, so many people were trying to help and stop this. I remember I was there in a meeting and she came forward. They got caught again and stuff. And it was just, one of the men in the congregation had been dealing with him and he'd been lying and everything. And he was so stressed out of it, he passed out, fell on his wife, broke her back. It was an elderly couple. Just the amount of suffering. All for what? For two selfish people to turn their backs on their responsibilities and duties and blessings for just selfishness. Let's read Hebrews 13:4 once more and we'll be done for today. And we'll talk about some constructive preventing things and some other things another time. Let marriage be had in honor among all, and the bed be undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?